So, Lord, we thank you once again. We bless your holy name, Lord. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is that lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, how it illuminates the way, Lord, in such a dark, decaying, and fallen world, Lord. We need light every day to guide us, Lord. So we thank you for your word. We love your word. We bless your word. We thank you that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. Thank you for your word. And we thank you that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, Lord. So we ask that you speak to us now through the word, through the Holy Spirit. We love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Good to see you all on this morning. And just a couple of things for our youth, our young adults and our youth. Next week, Cal State, a representative from the Cal State system will be here. So this is twofold. So if you're that age, or if you know someone who's around that age, please invite them out. They're going to be signing up students and giving them everything they need to be accepted and to apply to any one of the 23 Cal State University's up and down from San Diego all the way up north. So if you know a youth that's interested in school, that's interested in college, it's just a twofold opportunity to get them to church and then also to introduce them to the universities. So it's what they call Super Sundays. The Cal States have been doing it for years. And so our church is one of the ones that was selected for them to come and talk to our youth. So anyone, amen. So anyone from, I would say, I mean, you're never too young to start talking to your kids about college, but of course, middle school and up. You know anyone that's middle school and up, you want to just give them a shot in the arm about college. We've had several students in the other church that we were part of. They got admitted, Dominguez Hills, Fullerton, East Bay, and Cal State, San Diego, and all San Diego State, all that kind of stuff, so. We thank God for the opportunity to get our kids educated. Amen. And then for the other outreach opportunity is the basketball game out at Loyola Marymount University. You have people that wouldn't come to maybe to church, but they'll go to a basketball game. So let's use it as an outreach opportunity. Invite someone out to the game. We'll have a good time. We'll fellowship. We have discounted tickets. We'll see a decent Division I basketball game. And they'll get to see the church folks aren't just all stuffy, amen, and just, you know, and don't know how to go out and enjoy fellowship and a game. Amen? Amen. So, did I say Hebrews chapter 11? All right. And let's read verse 37. You there, say amen. Amen. They were stoned, underline stone. They were sawn asunder, underline sawed in half. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. Underline that. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains. Underline wandered. And in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, underline all, having obtained a good report or a good testimony through faith, underline through faith, it's always comes back through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us that they, underlined without us, should not be made perfect. Wow, somebody say amen. So this whole year for us, we've been going after this kind. Spiritual warfare, we recognize that we are in spiritual warfare. We started in Ephesians 6 and 16, and well, Ephesians 6, 10, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So here we are in the spiritual warfare. It said, put on the, have your loins girded about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Then it said, above all, having faith that you may quench the fiery darts of the wicked. So above all, we have to have faith. That's our offense and that's our defense. So that's why we paused here, because out of all our armor, the armor as we put on the whole armor of God, said above all, we got to have faith. So we talked about Gideon and how he tried to make excuses because his family was poor and he was not much of anything. And then we talked about Joseph and how he asked him to bury his bones. When you don't bury me here in Egypt, but when you get to the promised land, I'm getting ready to die, but you take my bones. We talked about, last week we talked about Paul and how through his trial, it was the opportunity for him to share Christ with everyone around him through his trials. Wow. He used his trials to share Christ. So then here we are, we get to verse 37, and it says they were stoned, and that's not like when you get drunk or something. That's not that type of, for those of you who were struggling with that, that's not that. They didn't say they were drunk. I know that means they were actually, they actually picked up stones and hit them and threw them. And so here we are, we're looking at how they were stoned, they were cut in half, they were killed with the sword. And so as we go through our life, they had to wander. They were afflicted. They were destitute. So don't feel so bad. We were in good company. We're in good company as you're going through, as you're being afflicted, as we're feeling destitute, as we're feeling abandoned and rejected. They did too, being persecuted. So we're in good company. But through faith, they became heroes of faith. They made it into the hall of faith, which is our goal. Someday we want to be in the hall of faith. Amen? Amen. So don't feel so bad. You're in good company. Look at Hebrews 11 and 30. It says, by faith, underline by faith. It's the same thing as through faith. The walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed or encircled about 7 days. Let's take a look at that real quick. Let's go to Joshua 6 and 1. And I want you to think about this. Joshua 6 and 1. I mean, you talk about, okay, God. So here they are. Here's the setup. They're trying to go into part of the land that God has promised them, but the enemies are there. So God, what do we do? Well, I want you to go for 6 days. I want you to walk around one time. Then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times, blow a trumpet and shout, and the walls are going to fall down. Right. Really? That's the military. Where are my military guys? That's the strategy. You got to be kidding me, right? We're going to blow a trumpet and scream, and the walls are going to fall down. Wow. Really, God? Through faith. So when you think about it, maybe it's not so silly when God asks you to do some things that's like, God, that's just silly. What are people going to say? They're going to laugh at us. We're going to just be walking around and they're going to laugh at us. What is my family going to think? You mean, Lord, you want me to start a Bible study at work? They're going to laugh. Hey, we're not the first ones. You and I are not the first ones to feel silly because God told us to do something. Oh, God, you want me to get up early and pray and fast every morning? Oh, God, thank God. But I need a breakthrough. I ain't got time to, God, I need a real plan. That's the plan. For our youth. So God, you mean I'm supposed to keep myself until I'm married? But everybody else is, I'm going to look silly when I say, you know, I'm saving, I'm consecrating myself as a young man, as a young lady. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to think I'm weird. Something's wrong with me. Oh, you're not the first one. You're not the first one. You're not the first one. Be weird. Be consecrated. It's going to be silly. Sometimes we're going to have to look like a fool for God. Hey, man, hit this. Drink this. No, I'm cool. What? Shit, man, everybody drinks a beer every now and then. Oh, man, well, you can't hang with us. Well, maybe I don't need to hang with you. Yeah, you're gonna look silly. You're going to look weird. Oh, man, well, the Bible tells me to love my wife as I love myself. So, man, I'd never say that to my wife. Calls the wives to honor and respect their husbands. Oh, you silly. Oh, you. He, my man, he won't tell me what to do. I make my own money. I make more than him anyway. He should be respecting me. It's going to look silly. But here we pick it up in Joshua 6 and 1. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You got Jericho, you got the king and all the mighty men that's there. You shall compass or encircle the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall thou do 6 days. You talking about men of war. Dude, we supposed to go walk around 6 days? Are you kidding? That's the plan? And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. I don't like that plan. That's not going to work, Joshua. That sounds too easy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. No, that's too easy. I have to go out and do it my way. We will look silly for God when we do it his way. Don't be perplexed. We're not the first ones. We won't be the last ones. But this is how we're called to fight the spiritual warfare. What about when God tells you to pray for your enemies? God, I ain't praying for them. I don't even like that. What about when God tells you and then you fill in the blank? What is God telling you right now to do that you're fighting against that you don't want to do? That it seems like it's silly and it's not going to work. That it's a waste of time because, God, I need it to happen right away. But God said, do it my way. We're in good company. We're not the first ones to look silly or feel inadequate. But that's the word. That's why we need the word, so it can illuminate the way. God has called ordinary people just like me and you to do great things for him. And yes, we're going to look silly. Amen. Take a look, quick look with me also. Let's go to 2 Kings. When you go through 2 Kings chapter 6, 6 verse 8, as we're talking about above all and having faith, as we go through, you have to understand that God is with us. That's the only thing that separates us from just looking like complete idiots to men and women with a purpose, that God is with us. You got to know God is with us in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your wandering. Sometimes we just feel like we're wandering. Where are we going? What are we doing? God, this is absolutely making no sense, but you have to know that God is with you. And everything that we've been through has led us up to this point. And it's on purpose. And I'm telling you, that's what separates the heroes of faith from the zeros of faith. That's pretty nice. I like that. All right. Either you will be a hero of faith or you will have zero faith. It's really no two ways about it. Either you trust God or you don't. So here we go. I love the Word of God. I told you I have ADD when I'm trying to study. I'm all over the place. But it ties in. 2 Kings 6 and 8. It says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. That's just like this and that. So y'all didn't know that was actually a place, such and such a place. That's a biblical place. And right now you might be in such and such place. Amen. Where is that at? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. Such and such place. It's just such. Underline such and such. Where are you at? I don't know. Such and such place, Sister LaRose. That's where I'm at right now. That's what it feels like. Amen. So this king, he's warring against the man of God, which is Elisha. Elisha is the man of God. So verse 9, and it says, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware, thou shalt pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. So here you have the king said he's going to go wait for the children of Israel, God's people, in such and such place. The man of God, which is Elisha, who's a prophet, who hears from God, he tells the king of Israel, don't go to such and such place because they're waiting for you. All right. So you got the setup. Verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. He saved himself because he listened to the man of God. That's a whole message within the message. Amen. Verse 11, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servant and said unto him, will you show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He said, wait a minute. How did he know? How did the king of Israel know about such and such place? It's an inside job. It's an inside job. Somebody in here is on the inside telling the other king what we're getting ready to do. Who is it? Who is the spy? Who is the mole? It's an inside job. Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, it's none of us, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. So on your prayer list, ask God to give you insight and revelation. God, give me insight and revelation as to what to do, where to go, how to operate. This guy, he's speaking secrets in his bedchamber. Elisha's praying and fasting, and he's getting revelation from God. Tell the king not to go to such and such place because it's a setup. We're going through our everyday life. You need to be praying and fasting every morning for insight, for revelation, knowledge, so God can say, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go back over there. You need to delete that number, as a matter of fact. You need to stop hanging out with her. You need to stop hanging out with him. Pray for revelation knowledge. God, is this the job that you have? No, it's not the one. I'm going to close the door. Pray for revelation knowledge when you get laid off. God, what do you? I got something better for you. So then you don't have to cuss out the boss and start fighting everybody in the office. Pray for insight. Pray for discernment. God, show me what's going on. It's an inside job, but the insight is coming from God. Verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. I need to get this guy. And he told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Verse 14. Therefore sent he there horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So Elijah and his servant is there in Dothan. The king of Syria sends out chariots and everybody and surrounds them at night while they're asleep. Because he wants to fetch him. He wants that type of insight. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he should have been praying and fasting, but he just got up. And he looked at his situation and circumstances and look what happened. All right, that's the message within the message. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? What shall we do? So instead of him getting up, praying and fasting, asking God, what shall we do? He got up and panicked. Get up and pray for your kids, pray for your spouse, pray for your family, pray for your job, pray for every situation and circumstance. God, how do I handle this? And ask for that insight, ask for that knowledge, ask for that discernment. Look what Elijah told him. Number one, he told him three things. Verse 16, and he answered, fear not, stop tripping, don't be afraid. So family, when we're praying and we're fasting, we're seeking God, number one, don't be afraid. Regardless of what the situation and circumstance looks like, don't be afraid. 2 Timothy tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The first thing God is speaking to someone's heart, whatever you got going on now, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of it. That's not God. That's the enemy. He operates with fear and torment. God gives us power, love, and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. And then look at this. He answered and said, fear not. Number two, what you got to know, that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Huh. So don't be afraid. You got to understand that God with you is a majority. Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, God is with you. Whatever we're going through, whatever we have to deal with, don't be afraid, and God's with you. Amen. Family, that's what you have to know right off the top. Number three, pray that God will open your eyes that you may have spiritual understanding and discernment. Because look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee. See what Elijah did? He prayed. Amen. Family, we have to be a praying church. You have to be a praying individual. You always have to pray. Look what he prayed. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. That's my prayer, Lord. Open the family's eyes that they can see. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That's spiritual warfare. That's way up there. It's stuff you see, it's angels, it's host of angels all around us that you can't even see. The word tells us that they're there. So we're going through our situation, our circumstance, our day-to-day stuff, and we have a whole army with us when we're doubting the God that we can't even see. So hero of faith, when they're going through all the trials, the tribulations, the persecution, God is right there. Elijah said, he prayed and he opened his eyes and he saw. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That we don't have to go through this journey alone. Remember in Ephesians, it talked about how we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. But on the same token, we have spiritual strength in high places. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's get back to Hebrews. Amen. Thank God for that. So add that to your prayer list as you're praying. Things that we pray for. Spiritual discernment. God, show me. Discern. Give me revelation knowledge. Like you did for Elisha. We thank God that Elisha was a man of God who's given the word, who was dialed into God. That's my prayer. I want to be that type of man of God that's going on your behalf to God and then coming on God's behalf to you. Not just playing church, family. We don't play church here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We're serious about God. We're doing all we can to live right, to stay right, to follow God. Amen. Look at Hebrews 11:38. Say the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts. Underline wandered if you haven't already. Wandered in deserts. Sometimes you just feel like you're out there. But you got to understand that's your road. That's your path. That's your journey. That's your climb to being a hero of faith. Whatever your situation is right now is creating in you to be that hero of faith. It's the valley. It's the mountain. It's the ups. It's the downs. But it's creating you to be that man, that woman of faith. Verse 39, and all these having obtained a good report, a testimony. Your testimony is part of the journey. It's not the end of the journey. It's a part of the journey. And your testimony is still being written. Amen. Amen. And these all having obtained a good testimony through faith received not the promise, but it's not the promise they have. And in some supernatural way, verse 40 tells us, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That Elisha, that Joseph, that Daniel, that David, some supernatural way without us, they can't get what God has for them. Some supernatural way they needed us. I guess because Jesus said that the promise is for the Jew and the Gentile, the Greek. The bond, the free, not just for a certain type of people, but for everybody. So without us, they don't have the promise. Huh? As great as they were, God has something better for us, it said. They can't be complete without us. And we're not complete without them. Amen. Look at chapter 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It's like we have our cheerleaders. Amen. We have a whole group of cheerleaders that's fighting, that's rooting for us. You can do it. Come on. We did it. Trust me. God is with you. God is right there. Don't give up. Just hold on. Go through faith. You got it. You can do it. Come on. We waiting on y'all. We can't be complete without y'all. Stop tripping. Get through it. You're going to be all right. Look at us. Read our story. We got sawed in half. We got fed to lions. You can do it. They're cheering for us. We got a whole heavenly cheerleading squad up there. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 12, reading again. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Wow. So since they're rooting for us, what do? Lay aside every weight. Underline weight. And underline the sin. Oh, my gosh. That's what they're telling us. Lay aside the weight and the sin. The weight in the form of depression and worry. God bless you. Concerns, cares of this world, issues. It's saying, put that stuff aside. Why? It says, because it says, which does easily beset us or get us tripped up or get us entangled and let us run with patience the race that is set before. It's like we're running a race. How many of you ran track before? How many ever seen a track before? Right. If you're running track, imagine running track with a backpack on. Are with the weight vests on. Mm-hmm. He said, that's what the weight is. You're trying to live this life, but you keep picking up these weights that God said, cast all your burdens upon him because he cares for you. Yeah. Say, you can't run the race with all the weight. And then the sin, not just sin, but the sin, the one that always gets you caught up. The one that called you last night, the sin, that one. They say, lay that stuff aside. We're trying to win this race. We're rooting for you. Lay it aside. Stop being worried. Stop being depressed. Stop being disappointed. You say, what is the sin? Think about what you were doing last night. That's it. Because it's always trying to call your name. Always trying to get you to look at it. Or come see it. To do it. To think about it. That's the sin. He didn't just say sin. We all got the sin in our life. That one is always, as you thought you put in the basement years ago, I'm super Christian, I don't have to deal with that. Then that sin comes, the sin comes like, oh, thought I got rid of you. Oh no, it's still there. That's why we have to go after this kind, because this kind is always coming after us. That schematic is always set up, the spider web, the blueprint. That's why we have to be aggressive. That's how we have to wake up praying and fasting every morning. So we're focused. Because the weight and the sin is right there. Your phone would go off and you would get a text message and you would look at that, but you haven't prayed and fasted. It's trying to get you distracted already. First thing in the morning. Pray before you look at your phone. Pray before you do anything else. Pray before you get out of bed. God doesn't care if you're laying in the bed. Well, I need to go get in the corner and I gotta be really. No, just pray before you get up. Why are you trying to get over there? The phone rings, y'all. You jacked up for the whole day. Got worry. We got depression. That's the weight. Research shows that 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. And then the other 10%, that's your journey of faith. Deal with it and persevere. Deal with it. Look at verse 2. And so as you're on your journey, how do you deal with it? You deal with it by looking unto Jesus. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the originator of your faith. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. He's the originator and finisher means the perfecter. He started it and he perfects our faith. So an author, someone who writes, someone who creates. So this is what it's saying. Jesus is writing your life story. The title of all of our story is Your Journey of Faith. Deal with it. That's the title. He starts it off and he's going to finish it. Hey, Lord, what's the title of my book? Your Journey of Faith. Deal with it. Oh, why do we all have the same title? Because we do. Because it's a faith walk. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So what's the title of my story? Your Journey of Faith. And just think about your life from even how you grew up, where you grew up, what you dealt with. It doesn't matter. It's still your journey. And you got to deal with, I got to deal with mine. We weren't born with a silver spoon. Matter of fact, we had to use plastic spoons. Silver plated plastic spoons. That's my journey. That is, however you grew up, that's your journey. But Jesus is the author and the finisher. And look what it says in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, underlined for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You have to see beyond this. You have to see where God has taken you to. Jesus had to deal with the cross. And remember, he was 100% God. He was 100% man. So when that cross was right there, who wants to be nailed to a cross? Who wants to be rejected and ashamed and spit upon? But he saw past that. He saw the joy that was set before him. You and I, we have to see the joy that's set before us. That's why we get up and pray every day, because we see the joy of our kids coming out and our kids getting to the place where God wants them to be because of the prayers of the righteous. So that's the joy. I don't look at what I'm going through now. I look at the joy that's set before me. Verse 2 again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus saw him sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. He saw all that. That's why he had to endure, and he got past it. Because of the joy being interpreted, the calm delight. Look for the calm delight that comes after what you're going through. Don't just look at what you're going through. Look at what comes after what you come through. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction, a contradiction or the hostility of sinners. And isn't that something? As much as they persecuted Christ, he still died for them. So that's, they're giving him a hard time and they're crucifying him, but he's dying that they might be saved. Now, you know, if folks don't like you, you really don't want to do too much for them, especially die. Trying to die for nobody that don't like me. I don't want to die for nobody that likes me. Let's be honest. Come on now. I love you. Is there another way? But he endured. It's a contradiction of sinners against himself. It says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Because if you just look at what people are doing in this whole jacked up world, your mind is going to get weary, you're going to be discouraged, and you're going to give up. The journey of faith cannot be traveled on by what we see. It can't be, family. We're done. If that's it, I'm done. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And look at the joy that was set before him. And make a note that you can't spell the word journey without the word joy. Make a note of that. So find the joy in your journey. That's what Jesus had to do. That's what you and I have to do. And then verse 4 says, You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It said, you haven't done all you can to resist sin. You could be doing a lot more to not get caught up in the sin. Like Joseph, who just ran. It's saying, you know, we could be doing a lot on this journey. We could do a lot more to prevent. You haven't shed any blood for it. So the picture that it's painting is like, if sin is right here, and I don't have on any shoes, and sin is right here, and there's broken glass right there, I gotta travel on broken glass to get away from that sin. He's saying that's the type of faith you need to get away from the sin. He said, you ain't resisted unto bloodshed. You ain't done all you can. Okay, come over. Everybody else is doing it. It's okay. You ain't resisted. He said, get across that broken glass with no shoes on. Run from that sin. It's the journey of faith that we're on. We got to do more. We got to do all that we can. Have to have your mind made up. It's a mindset. It's a mindset, family, as we go on this journey of faith. Let us pray. All right, Lord. Here we are once again, Lord, and we want to just thank you for your word and God, you're growing us up. You're challenging us to live right, to be right, to do right, to stay right. Because we're on a journey. We got a whole cheerleading squad that's rooting for us, Lord. Because the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. He got through it, Lord. Let us see the joy in you. That we're not breaking your heart. Let somebody else's heart be the one that's broken, but not yours. That's the joy that God is smiling on us. Saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, Lord. Open our eyes. Give us discernment, Lord, so we can see beyond what's just in front of us, beyond our situation and circumstance, Lord. That we can see that it's a heavenly host that's right around us. Angels warring in the heavenlies, on our behalf, that you're always with us, even when it doesn't look like it, even when it looks like we're surrounded with a bunch of stuff, dealing with a bunch of situations, circumstances, issues, God, you're right there. You said, you told Elisha to tell his servant, God, open his eyes so he can see that there's more that be with us than there's more that be with them. God, let us see that right now as we go through trying to live holy, live consecrated, separate lives. Lord, let us see as this whole world is decaying and dying. Let us see that it's more that be with us than it is that be with them. Let us not get weary in well-doing, so we shall reap if we faint not, Lord. God, let us be strengthened and encouraged by your word. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone in here now who say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. That my first step of faith would be accepting Jesus Christ. It's my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I've just been doing my own thing. I'd really need to rededicate my life. I love Jesus, but I just haven't been showing it by the way that I've been living. And we're halfway through February. I told myself in the beginning of the year I was going to be different. But right now, 2014 just is a continuation of 2013. Pastor, I just need to rededicate. And I want to rededicate this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you if you want to rededicate your life on this morning. Or if you're looking for a church home, say, Pastor, I don't have a church home. And I love the worship. I love the word. I love the fellowship of the people here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. That's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. So if you have any other spiritual needs this morning, salvation, rededication, or membership, elevate your hand. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Oh, we love you on today, Lord. There's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. Thank you for your word. God, we're committed to doing better, to getting across that broken glass if we have to run from sin. We got to do all that we can to live better, to be a better example, Lord, to seek and to save those that were lost. I'm going to ask Bernie and LaVeda to come up. Good morning. Do you all know Bernie and LaVeda?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, as a couple, we just want to come up here and announce our engagement. And, when we joined the church, for years now, we have an 11-year-old daughter and our 12-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Daughter as well, and you know, we've been unmarried for a number of years by being members of South Bay Abundant Life and being participating in, you know, the couples ministry and going to couples night and just
wanting to walk closer with God.
Yeah, just wanting to line up as well, and you know, just we've been getting a lot of support from the couples and the church, and a lot of motivation, inspiration, and you know, we've just come to the point where we want to line up perfectly with the Lord, with God, walk with Him hand in hand. By, you know, by this engagement and our soon-to-be wedding. You know, we feel that we are coming closer, and we just want to thank the church and the couples and the pastor and Tracy. Just thank you all for your support, your motivation, your inspiration, and your prayers. Yeah. You know, we've been getting a lot of prayers. Tuesdays now? It used to be Wednesdays, right? Yeah, we know. We felt those prayers moved us as well. We know a lot of you were praying for us as a couple, without actually telling us, but we felt it.
Thank you.
And yeah, we want to thank you as well. And anything else?
Thank you all.